preaching as one of the pastors. So there's that. So if you're here, our first announcement is this. If you're here and this is your first time, we absolutely welcome you here this morning. We are a body of people who have been rescued by Jesus. We love him. We worship him. If you are here and you're a Christ follower, we invite you to worship him with us. If you're not, we invite you to watch us worship him. We are a covenant community united around the person and work of Jesus. If this is your first time, there's a card in the back of the chair in front of you. And if you would like, we would love to reach out to you and know how we can pray for you, learn, answer any questions that you have for us. And you can do that with the card in the back of the chair. And then later on, we'll give you some instruction on where to put those cards. And for those who are used to here and have been here a long time, at any point, any time, you can put your prayer request on those cards, and we will be sure to pray for those. That's the first. The second is this. From my family, I want to say to every member of Exodus, you have made the move for us not just bearable, but wonderful. You have loved us very well. We know what it's like to be welcomed into a family because you did that with us. So from my six, from my family, I want to declare and say to you guys, thank you for loving us well. Thank you for showing us grace, being patient with us when I forget your name. All of those things, you have been very kind, and I wanted to just say thank you. All right, Matthew chapter 7. Verse 24 through 29. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 through 29. I'm going to read it, and we're going to pray and dig. God's word says, verse 24, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and it beat against the house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching. For he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. Father, right now your children, Exodus, visitors, we come to you right now knowing that we can stand on what you promised, and you promised that you would meet with us where we are in your word. That you will, by the power of your Spirit, you will make alive what is normally dead. That you will take these words and explode it into our hearts and revive us where we need to be revived. You will fix us where we need to be fixed, and you will care for us where we needed to be cared for. So we come to you in expectation that you will speak to us, accomplish in each of us exactly what you desire this morning. Produce in us a greater trust in you. In Christ's name, amen. So we are together this morning coming to Jesus. We're asking him to speak to us predominantly because Jesus, God, knows exactly what you right now are going through. Jesus knows everything, all of the details about everything that you right now are facing. He knows the intensity, the relentlessness, and the repetitiveness of all of the storms that you are currently facing. He knows that what you are going through, some of us, are not rain showers, but they are hurricanes. He knows that we are standing, some of us, in earth-shaking, lightning, loud thunder, hurricane-force winds, tsunami-type waters. And He knows that the storms that have come up in our lives, they came up unexpectedly. We didn't even see it coming. Jesus also knows our storm. He also knows our weaknesses. He knows that we will be overwhelmed by these storms. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our frailties. He knows our desires to protect ourselves. And everyone here, all of us, everybody here, is either coming out of a storm, moving into a storm, or is sitting right in the middle of one. All of us. Jesus knows this is our life. Because the world is broken, because our bodies are broken, the pain of life here on earth is real. So here's what's real. Illnesses are real. Work reconstructuring is real. Unemployment is real. Relationship difficulties are real. Family turmoil is real. Divorce is real. Personal disappointments are real. Death of a loved one, the fear of the unknown, this is what we live in, and Jesus knows it. So this morning, I would invite everyone to think for yourself for a moment. This morning, what is the storm outside of your window? Right now, what is the storm that you are facing? What is the current wind that is threatening to tear down your life? The good news this morning is that the real Jesus has made a way for the real you to survive the real storm. So Exodus, we are all in the same boat, and Jesus is in this boat with us. Amen? So here in this passage, we have Jesus, the 100% God, 100% man. He is finishing his Sermon on the Mountain, and he is bringing it to its culmination. He is ending his message. He's tying up all the loose ends, and he is getting extremely practical with us. Jesus is a very practical man. And he has just laid out, you should read it sometime. It's really great, his sermon. It starts in chapter 5 and it rolls through. But he has just laid out his glorious treaty on what the kingdom of God is like and how we can live under the rule of God. He's just explained to people, just like us, what it's like to live a life that glorifies God and comes in line with what he desires for us. And then here, he drops his final lesson, the final parable on us to bring it home, and he wants to make it stick in our lives. So let's look at the parable first, and then we'll look at the lesson. The parable is this, essentially. We have two men. There's two men. They built their own houses. The storm, the same storm, hits both houses. One of them survives and one of them is demolished. And the parable teaches that the thing that matters most, the point of the parable, was that the durability of the foundation is what matters in the end. The durability of the foundation. So I read a lot of commentaries, and all decent commentators, theologians, they all decent ones agree that this parable is speaking of these things. The builders in the parable are us. They're normal people. The builders are us. The houses that they're seeking to build are their lives. So we're all builders. We're all building our lives. And the foundations of this parable are what we place our faith in to sustain us in the storms of life. What we're hoping will sustain us as the world beats us up. So let's look at each one of those. The builders, the houses, and the foundations. First, the builders. So the scripture is saying we are all building houses. Every one of us, whether you're Christian or non-Christian, all of your friends, all of your neighbors, we are all seeking to build our lives. All of our neighbors, everybody, we are all, every day, all day, seeking to build these great lives. So this is why we go to school. This is why we work hard. This is why we seek to parent. This is why we form careers. We are all constantly seeking to build great lives. We're seeking to build great kids. We're seeking to build great relationships and friendships. We're seeking to build great community groups, to build great finances, to build a great church, to build a great lasting ministry. What we are all doing, whether we realize it or not, we are constantly throwing up walls in our life for safety. We're building rooms of hope. We're building our own views. We are establishing our core beliefs. Our whole life is a house. And this is the picture he wants to give us. So some of y'all are visual people like me. I literally imagine my house, my life as a house. So think about what your house would look like. So you have built your life. There's rooms that stand for your hobbies. There's rooms that stand for your hope. There's things, a room that includes all the things you put your safety in, your finances, everything that makes you you is what we're seeking to build. All of us. Then in the parable, the tide turns and says, every house, so you can imagine your house, says every house can expect the unexpected. What will happen is storms will hit your house. Every house will face storms. The brokenness in us and in the world will beat on our house. A hurricane is an equal opportunity offender. No one is immune to the devastation of the world. Whether you are religious or irreligious, whether you are obedient to God's word or disobedient to God's word, however great our lives look or however small our lives are, it doesn't matter. Jesus himself was not immune to the turmoil of the storm. For every one of us, the hurricane is forming in the ocean. Death is coming. Job loss is coming. Tragedies are coming. And the parable is teaching us we are all in this. There is no escaping this. This is our reality. We should not gloss over and pretend like this does not exist. Jesus has better for us. The parable says, at the end of the day, at the end of the day, only one kind of house, only one kind of life can survive this type of brutal storm. Jesus is saying the survival of your house lies in the strength of her foundation. To say it in another way, everything you are seeking to build, everything you are seeking to build always has a bottom. It always has a foundation you are trusting in, the object of your faith. It must be strong enough to hold you when the storm hits. He's saying that what you are seeking to build is all for nothing if it is on the wrong foundation. Charles Spurgeon, so since my pastor kept quoting him last series, I felt like I needed to include one. Charles Spurgeon says this, even the doer of the word, even for the doer of the word, trial will come. Trials of affliction will fall from above. Floods of persecution or trouble will arise from the earth, and a mysterious winds of spiritual temptation will beat upon him from all quarters. But he has a good foundation of real, vital, practical faith, and therefore he survives every test. So the parable is hard to hear. Am I right? It's hard to preach. I think it's probably hard. It's hard to hear, to see the intensity of what Jesus is presenting to us. And he's saying, all of your life, your survival hinges on what you are putting your life on, what you are building your life on. And so I'm here. I hope all of us are here where we get to the parable. We hear the parable and say, okay, tell us. Tell me. I want that foundation. I need the foundation. Please tell us about the foundation. We want to survive. We want to survive. And Jesus says, there's only two. There are only two foundations on which you will build your life. And everything you are lies on one or the other. And here are the two, sand and rock. First, let's look at sand. Verse 26 says, and everyone, this is the sand foundation, and everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. He says here that the sand is the foundation of a life who listens to God's word and then does nothing with it. Who listens to God's word and has no intentions of actually following suit. So God, they hear God's word, it goes in their ears, but it doesn't go to their hearts. It never, you know, real lasting change only happens when we start obeying and acting it. We can say, we can declare we believe a thing, but until there's actions to prove it, we really haven't believed it. So he's saying that the sand foundation is a foundation of someone who hears God's word. We hear his word. We hear his word. And it goes one in one ear and out the other. In other words, he doesn't believe, the person doesn't believe the word enough to obey it. They only believe it enough to listen to it. So therefore, this person is still seeking to establish his own foundation for life. This is trusting in ourselves. We're putting faith in ourselves that we're going to be able to get through the storm. We put faith in our religions. We put faith in our money. We put faith in our safety. We put faith in our children. We try to lay our own foundation on something other than God's word. And when we don't have God's word, we create our own. The sand is surface level stuff. It's things that we can see. Our work ethic, our wisdom, our ability to get things done, our strength. We look at it and say, now that's something I can build my life on. Jesus is saying here, and this is hard, we can memorize all the scripture we want. We can go to every Bible study. We can read every book. We can read our Bible every day religiously. We can come here on Sunday and hear the word preached constantly. And we can still be the foolish man here that has his life crumble all around him. Because the foundation could not hold. confession apart from obedience is worthless. Jesus constantly, he said this earlier, and he'll say it again. I like the way that Luke put it. Jesus says, and this is hard for Americans, this is hard for us. Jesus says, those who are in my family, my brothers and sisters, my mother, those who are in my family are ones who listen to his word and obey his word. So when the storm comes against a sand foundation, it always crushes you at your core. It doesn't just hurt, it devastates. It ruins us because the object of our faith isn't strong enough to support us. So, raise of hands. Any of you who have ever lived in a single-wide trailer? I have. All right? So, if you've ever lived in a... My family got the wonderful opportunity to live in a single-wide trailer for 2 years, the last 2 years. It is deathly scary when the first storm comes up and it's the first time you are in your single wide trailer. Trust me. All right, so I remember we had lived in stick-built houses all of our lives. I had Brooke Hatton, so maybe she was a little bit used to it, but the first storm started rolling up on us. This is Eastern North Carolina. It's all sand, literally. This is not figuratively. It was all sand, and we're in a single wide trailer. And I was scared to death because I had just, like a few days before, I had just looked underneath. And I never looked underneath a trailer. Why would I look underneath a trailer? All right, I just looked underneath the trailer and realized we're sitting on some center blocks here. And yes, there's some tie downs, you know, for those of you who don't know, here's a quick lesson. They call it hurricane straps, and they drive these things down the ground to try to keep it. But... It's still, at the end of the day, it's sitting on sand. It is. So whenever, like, a tornado warning or anything, you know, we're closer to the beach, or a hurricane could come up, and if it's real strong, last until it gets to us. Anytime a storm comes and you're living in a trailer, you leave. You leave that trailer. You do. That's what you do. All right. You leave the trailer. Why? Because you know this is sand. You can look down and see this is sand. This ain't going to hold us. I'm not trusting this thing. I'm not putting my faith in this sand. It ain't going to last. But if you've ever been, I've been in a good hurricane. If you've ever been in a stick-built house with a good sturdy foundation, I slept through Fran in Eastern North Carolina. Slept through Fran. Nobody else did, but I was a kid, so it happened. But there's a deep trust in the foundation. You can look and see, okay, I got pretty good faith that this thing's not going anywhere. Jesus is saying here, sand is not something you would want to build your life on. Don't put your faith in that. And that the person that hears God's word and then stops, does nothing with it, is like a person who has completely built their house on sand. They are building their life on sand. So we looked at sand, and now let's look at the rock. So Jesus makes a better way for us. Amen? Jesus makes a better way. If it wasn't for Jesus, all of our lives right now, you would be building, all of us, on sand. We would not survive. Life would get... For some of your friends and neighbors and family that do, they don't know the Lord, they don't love the Lord, they don't listen and obey his word, that's what our lives would be like if he had not made a way for us to have, for our lives, a firm foundation. Jesus does this for us. He says, you can have the rock as your foundation. Verse 24 says this, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. He says you can build your life on something that will sustain you through every storm. No job loss will take it away from you. No death of a family member will take it away from you. You will survive on this rock. Verse 24 shows us that your surviving the storm of life hinges on your hearing and obeying Jesus. You're hearing and obeying Jesus. So here's what it says. This is so simple. Y'all, I barely got out of middle school, barely got out of high school, and barely got out of college. This is so simple. I'm glad Jesus is simple with us. I'm glad he doesn't confuse us. I'm glad he just says it right here. He says, here's what I want you to do. Listen to what I said, and then do what I said. We confuse things. We get all up in it. And we gnarl it up. Now, did he say that? When am I supposed to? No, he said this. It's very clear, like you can read literally what he said. He said, like the example we talked about in one of the community groups this week. He said earlier, love your enemies. That's what he said. He's expecting us to do that. And I'm not being sarcastic here. I'm saying this is not hard. Jesus is not going to tell us to do something that's impossible. What father, what corrupt father tells their kids to do something that they are incapable of doing? He's not doing that. Jesus is saying, your obedience to my word shows that you have trusted me and that you believe my word and that you are holding on to me for your foundation. Without the obedience, we're just listening. So he makes it very clear, very simple. Jesus wants obedience. Jesus wants obedience. Jesus plans for us, Exodus. Jesus plans for your community group is obedience to do what he says. He says, pray. That's what we should do. He says, fast. That's what we should do. He says, get the beam out of your own eye before you try to get the speck out of someone else's. We should do that. These are all of the things that he has clearly laid out, instruction. And I know some people, I get this a lot, when you start saying that Jesus, God wants you to do something, you say, how dare you? How dare you? How dare any? I'm an American. You can't tell me what to do. I come up with my own. I have my own agenda. I have my own life. It's right here. I'm not saying this. Jesus is saying this. Jesus wants us to hear and obey. Because Jesus knows the expensive grace that we have received. And obedience comes from expensive grace, not cheap grace. Now, when we believe that what he has given us was expensive grace, we will obey. So, I've heard this text preached. I grew up in church, like most of you. I've heard this text preached a bunch of times from a bunch of different pastors, and something that's normal is a lot of pastors use this text to beat people up, and I do not want that here. I don't want that because I don't believe that's what Jesus is doing. I think Jesus is doing the opposite. He wants us to live life well. He wants us to have abundant life. He wants us to hold fast during the storms. He wants us to stand firm. And so he says, and he knows, you can't do that if you just listen to the word. It has to take root all the way at the bottom of who you are. So when the storm hits, your obedience of the word will keep you from being torn into pieces. And he knows this. So he's not beating us over the head with obedience. He's offering us a joyful substitute from being beat over the head with the storm. One of the hardest seasons of my family's life, one of the biggest storms that we ever faced, was when Brooke got cancer. And most of you know this, your church actually walked with us through that season. But it was in that storm where God showed us where our foundation was. It was during that storm we had to come back to the word and say, are we going to obey this word? Do we really believe that Jesus is enough here? Do we really believe that Jesus is Lord over our lives? Are we going to cast our anxiety on him, or are we going to find something else to cast our anxiety on? Will we believe his word? Verse 28 says, when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching. For he was teaching them as one who had authority, not as their scribe. This is how the sermon ends. The sermon ends. The people listening were absolutely astonished. One of the translations, Eugene Peterson says, they like leaped and rejoiced. They were clapping and cheering. Like they were astonished at what this man has just done. Jesus doesn't just say these things to us. He makes these things possible for us. He's not just the declarer of the news. He is the news for us. He's the one that has authority. He's the one with the authority. So right here, he gets in preaching. Jesus, full confidence. Full confidence. He says this, it's my words that you can stake your life on. From a position of authority, Jesus says, it's my words that you can stake your life on. It will last. It will keep you upright during the darkest storms. This morning, if I got up and said to you guys, hey, if you obey my words, you'll last through the storm, y'all should run me out of here. You should stone me. I don't have that kind of authority. My words don't have that kind of weight. See, Jesus' words are attached to his work. Jesus backed up what he said by how he lived. He was the obedient one. He took the direction from the Father and executed it perfectly. So how can Jesus stand up and say these things to us? What gives him the right to stand up with authority and say, it's all my words, you can stake your life on it? He could say this because he was the one who was thrown into the storm that we all deserved. And it crushed him. It crushed him. But because of his innocence, because of his perfection, because of his righteousness, because of his holiness, he survived. Jesus didn't just watch the storm from heaven. You know, Jesus living in perfect unity in the Trinity, in heaven, a perfect place, no storms, no trauma, no drama, no turmoil, nothing. He leaves his safe place. He left the storm-free environment and stepped right into the middle of the surge. Jesus suffered through the same things that you are facing right now so that he could sympathize with you, so that he could know us and know how we think in our weaknesses. But ultimately, in the end, Jesus, the wind picks up and the earth shakes, and he faced the ultimate storm that we could not handle, and he knew it. Jesus faced the rain of judgment. He faced the flood of rejection. He faced the winds of God's wrath. And the wise one, Jesus, the good builder, sent from heaven, he took on all of our foolishness, all of our building on the sand. He took on all of it, and he was crushed for it. And why? Why would he do this? Why would he do this for us? So that we, who would be crushed, who would be crushed on little rainstorms, we would be crushed, who should drown in the flood, so that we could have him as our sturdy foundation. Because Jesus listened and obeyed the word of the Lord, we now have access to hear and obey his words. Jesus tested the foundation of God's word, and he stood strong. Because he defeated the ultimate storm of sin and death, we now can stand firm in our storms, knowing that the wind and rain obey his voice. Nothing will happen. Nothing will happen to us that will crumble us to our foundation when he is the rock we are standing on. So I ask you today for our heart evaluation. Right now, where you are, the storm that you're in, are the walls caving in? With what you're facing, with what you're going through, is your life being destroyed? Scripture says, this man, it says, and great was the fall of it. Are you building a stick house on sand? Is your life falling apart around you? Because if it is, it's not a wind issue. It's not a rain issue. It's not even a storm issue. It's a foundation issue. Every storm we face proves the sturdiness of our foundation or exposes the weaknesses of our foundation. All other foundations promise us safety and never deliver. God's word promises us Jesus, and he always delivers. So this morning, if you're here and you are being destroyed, if you are overwhelmed and you feel your house shaking, Jesus says, it's not too late. It's not too late. You have access through Jesus to his word. You have access to obey through the Spirit. You can, this morning, today, commit to the words and obedience of Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the simplicity of your Son's word to us this morning. Thank you for the hope that you have provided for us. God, thank you for making a way to where we don't build things that will crumble. God, and great was the fall of it, is all of our stories apart from you. And you took, and great was the fall of it, and you made it into the house that stands in the middle of the storm. Father, we praise you forever for being for us what we could not be. Thank you for the foundational work in our lives. And help us to respond accordingly as you have dealt with our hearts. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you.